Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning we're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and you can see, if you take a peek at that page, you can see the handsome young man who's joined us this morning to give us an update on the goings-on for the city of Carrollton. His name is David Brooks. He is the city manager, and like I say, we'll talk about events and just a couple other topics this morning. So good morning, sir.
Good morning, Colin. Appreciate you having me
on
today.
Appreciate you finding time to come out here and talk with
us. Always enjoy being here.
You want to start out with the millage rate conversation?
Just right out of the gate.
Just to put it on there. We got a lot of events to promote and some other things to catch up on. But the millage rate, just, you know, it's fresh in my head. And, you know, we're talking with a lot of people. And we see social media people freaking out when they get those initial assessment notices that they think officially that's going to be the tax rate they pay, or that's going to be the total taxes they pay. Carrollton City Schools last week announced that they will roll back the millage rate. Carroll County's announced they intend to roll back the millage rate. How about the city of Carrollton? What's the stance on that? Already done the budget, so you know, you guys may already have a good idea of what you want to do with that millage rate to decide on how much money would come in to meet the budget requirements. But what does that look like right now?
Well, we're looking at the tax digest now. I haven't taken anything to the elected officials yet. I generally would not recommend rolling back the millage rate, and probably will not this time. But there's a lot of factors that will go into it. One, the tax digest. What if we rolled back, what revenue would that bring? And then some different House bills that have come into play that might affect that as well. But you know, probably my recommendation will be to maintain the millage rate. We have a very, very low millage rate, and compared to cities that offer the same or even less amenities than we offer here in Carrollton and services, and we're a lot lower than other comparable cities. So I think we're at 4.082 right now, I think, and I would recommend, probably just on preliminary looking at it, recommend staying the same. But, you know, I recommended that last year and the elected officials voted to roll back the taxes. So they're going to do what they feel like is in the best interest of the community and the city to continue to provide the services that we can and take care of the citizens. They really do take a lot of pride in listening to the citizens and taking care of the citizens in the city of Carrollton. So we'll see. They'll have all the information. We'll put it all out there for them. And, you know, what it would do to the budget if we don't roll back, and what would it do to the budget if we do roll back. So they'll make a well-informed decision. They'll have all the information.
Any speculation on how much additional revenue could be generated? I know the tax digest is not, you haven't looked it all the way through, or it's not even finished at this point, I guess, but do you know any kind of speculation how much money that would bring by maintaining it?
Last year it was about $450,000. So $450,000 to us, that's another couple of roads that we could pave probably. And then the average increase per property owner would be about $30-$40 a year because our millage rate is as low as it is.
And I did ask you after they did decide that, let's roll that back. I did ask you last year. It's like, okay, well, you prepared the budget. I mean, you're kind of expecting that money for your recommendation. But, I mean, you do have money saved up that would protect the budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We try to budget conservatively. And to make sure that not just if the taxes are rolled back, but if we were to hit an economic downfall or you know, something that some unknown factor comes into play during the budget year, we can handle it it be transparent to the citizens, and they still receive the services and have the amenities that they've always had.
What do you pay attention to when you're looking for the future, like, you know, the economy? I mean, the last 5 years, you hear the knuckleheads picking that, you know, it's going to be a crash and, you know, we're going to have a recession and things like that. But when you're looking forward, because, I mean, you got to think about next year already and think about how this year's budget affects next year. What do you pay attention to?
Just the trends. You know, we try to look at we look at the sales tax a lot. We look at the spliced and the lost and see how that's trending. Is it up? Is it down? Is it staying basically the same? You know, don't get overly excited when it goes up a lot, you know, but don't get overly worried if it goes down for a couple of months. But if it's a continued trend, then, you know, we'll look at it and say, okay, let's cut back on we're still gonna get everything we need, but let's cut back on some of our wants or some of the things that makes it easier for us to do our job. If we have to work a little harder to save a little money, then we'll do that. If we get into a trend where we're not bringing in the revenue that we feel like we need to make the budget.
David Brooks is city manager for the city of Carrollton, our guest on this morning's Community Voice. Any questions or comments, feel free to post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll take a look at those during the break. Housing, I tried to go back and look at some of the stories that I'd written over the last 6 months or 8 months. Housing in Carrollton, are there, how many, potential houses are in the works, and when can we expect to see those pop up?
Well, we've got several developments going on. We got one out on Horsley Mill, out towards Oak Mountain Golf. We got one going on there close to the DDT, Transportation Officer Prison there, Burns Road and Horsley Mill there. We got one going on there. You know, we got several requests coming in, several homes, you know, infill homes coming up in different lots throughout the city. You know, probably not as many as we need, and to purchase a home now is crazy, you know, at the price and everything, but there's no question that there's a housing shortage, and that that folks, young professionals, lower socioeconomic classes are. I mean, it's just a struggle to purchase a home right now. So, I mean, that's not just Carrollton, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go to conferences, I network with colleagues, city managers across the state, and I mean, it's the same everywhere. Everybody's trying to figure out how to combat the housing issue that we have right now.
It's not, and I've just forgotten. I know there was some development considered for the bypass out there, that big bit of land out there, I guess, at the end of Cedar Street, and you cross over, and there's that big land beside the bypass.
Correct.
Was that like a plaza mall, or was that going to be, was that housing? I forgot.
Well, it was a mixed-use development there. They had restaurants, gas station, maybe a grocery store, along with a 300-unit multifamily complex there in with that, but it's on hold right now. I think the developer's just trying to get everything in order,
but they've already been approved. I mean, I don't know if there was any rezoning or anything like that.
I mean, it was annexed in and approved. Yes,
that's right, it was annexed in. All right, time right now is 8:37. My guest on this morning's Community Voice program is David Brooks, Carrollton City Manager. Before we do take our break, last month, 2 months ago, approval for a new pickleball complex. I mean, it's going to be the biggest in West Georgia, it seems like. But, I mean, emphasize for us just the need of those pickleball courts and how people were, you know, chomping at the bit for this, and how they, you know, there are some existing pickleball courts, and I think they're falling apart, but they needed more. It's like 19 or 20 courts that you guys are building, right?
Yeah, it's somewhere between 18 and 20 courts over at Lakeshore. It'll really complement our tennis courts there, the new Lakeshore Park. It's going to be really nice. And pickleball's not going away. People are going to play pickleball. I mean, it's not a fad. And we have people leaving our community every weekend to go play pickleball in Noonan or go to Opelika or different areas, Macon, Columbus. I mean, they go all over the place to play pickleball. And they have been very diligent in requesting pickleball courts in Carrollton, and that group, the core pickleball group, been very professional about it. They haven't been demanding. They've just, you know, basically, is there anything we can do to get some pickleball courts? We resurfaced the ones over at Longview, so we have some over there, and the pickleball community is very appreciative of that. But knowing that we're about to start the new one at Lakeshore, and that should see the fencing going up this week, next week, the construction fence start going up, and we see some movement very, very soon over there. So we're excited about it. I mean, I firmly believe it'll be a Georgia High School Association sanctioned sport within the next 5 years. I mean, I think it's that big. When you turn on ESPN and you see pickleball tournaments, you know it's here. So
are you playing pickleball?
I am not, but I told my wife, I said, when we get this new complex, we're going to go buy some pickleball equipment. I don't even know what that would consist of yet, but we'll start playing. So, but we're excited about it.
The organized play of this. I mean, are there teams and uniforms and things like that locally? Or are they talking about that in the future? Would it be part of Carrollton Rec or something?
Well, it'll be part of Carrollton Rec. We hope to partner with West Georgia Pickleball Club and kind of like model it after what they've done in Noonan. We're still in the early stages of that, but. Hopefully partner with the West Georgia Pickleball Club. It's a city-owned complex. It's run by the rec department, but the pickleball club would take on the day-to-day running and scheduling of most of the courts.
Has the Frisbee course maintained its enthusiasm?
Absolutely.
When we started out, I was really excited about it. I went out there about 10 times with my kid. I just lost more Frisbees. It was becoming unaffordable.
It's kind of like me and golf balls, yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned Lakeshore. There's an event going on this weekend, night, right?
Night market Friday night. It was the last one we had last month was huge. We had people turn out from everywhere in golf carts, cars, boats. I mean, it was so our April Saunders and her group – put on that event, and we do three or four a year out there, and it's really well attended. We have vendors out there, we have food trucks. I mean, it's a really well attended event in a very nice, very nice park. So we're excited about that on Friday.
Absolutely. Powers Trio is out there.
Yeah,
and I just, you know, I think the first time it might have been the first time last week that I went out there since it was since new and improved. I got my sticker for my kayak.
There you
go out there. So that's beautiful. Yeah, sharp. All right, timer now is 8:41. We'll take our first break. Again, if you have any questions or comments for Mr. Brooks, please post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I shall share those. And during the program, Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Also streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning we're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. My guest, David Brooks. He is a city manager for the city of Carrollton. I'm going to go through just some of the notes that I took this morning looking for things to talk to you about. In early 2022, the cost of being interred in the historic Carrollton City Cemetery did increase. Charged residents a little bit more, and then residents living outside were going to be asked to pay a significant amount more. Has that, I guess the concern was that the city cemetery was running out of available spots, or available lots rather, and current prices were well below those of surrounding funeral homes. Has that helped? Have we seen a change in that? I know it's a prestigious place to be interred in the city, but
yeah, I think it's helped in terms of it's kept the pricing to where folks that live in the city of Carrollton, it's an affordable price. It's really less expensive than most others. We did a lot of research on other municipal owned cemeteries as well as privately owned cemeteries to see kind of what the price range was, and so we're still not as expensive as some others, but we did want to make the ones that you know, that were coming from Douglas County or Atlanta or just outside the Carroll County area because it was so inexpensive.
And that was the reason they were coming here, so it was less expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, haven't gotten any kickback from that at all. you know, it's still, like I said, it's still a very inexpensive price for a burial plot. And so we were happy that we're able to keep it as inexpensive as we could to our citizens, but yet maybe deter folks from coming from outside the county.
How many lots are left, do you think?
You know what?
I remember the number. I mean, I remember there was a number.
I'm not. But I don't remember exactly how many are left now.
Earlier this summer, City Council approved a resolution pertaining to golf carts on public streets, and it basically just making sure you have to register it and, you know, abide by some rules. How did that come into play? And I guess what's the process? It's not official yet as far as, you know, having to come register them yet. But
not yet. We're getting close. We were seeing haphazard activity type, you know, golf carts and, risky driving and things.
3-year olds driving the golf carts.
Or parents holding young kids and not having them buckled in and things of that nature. And folks were calling and saying, hey, can y'all look at this? And so we started looking into what other communities do in terms of their golf cart ordinance. And, you know, we want to be golf cart friendly. I want to say that up front. I mean, I have friends who have golf carts. If I lived in the downtown area close by, I would have a golf cart. I think they're great. But we want to make it safe for people in golf carts, for pedestrians, for people riding bicycles, as well as people in automobiles. And one of the things is, and it's not as bad, it's not as prevalent now as it was at one time, but you still get golf carts parking on curbs that go downtown. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they're smaller. You can get them in places like that. And we have no idea, but that impedes folks trying to walk, especially if they have a vision impaired or something of that nature, trying to walk the sidewalks. And so we had our police officers, you know, the only choices they had was to sit there on the golf cart until somebody come out of the restaurant or wherever, whatever it was they're doing, and then say, could you please move your golf cart, or have it towed. And we don't want to do that. I mean, we want to be golf cart friendly, but we want everybody to be safe, and we want to have a way to be able to look at a golf cart. It's parked on a curb and it's obstructing the entrance of a restaurant or a store, or it's obstructing the walkway. We want to be able to look at that decal and say, this is registered to so-and-so. Give them a call. Hey, you need to move your golf cart. You know, we're not going to go out there and start just writing tickets right out of the gate. We'll give warnings. We'll, you know, ask for people to be compliant and obeying the golf cart rules. And then if that don't work, then obviously we start issuing citations. And there'll be, it'd be city-issued citations. So, I've got a lot of good positive feedback from it. A lot of folks have texted or called and said, thank you for doing that, appreciate that, and, you know, things of that nature. So we're excited to get our golf cart ordinance in line with what other cities are doing.
And I guess in theory, I mean, if you present, like, you know, here's our rules, I mean, if you present that to them, half of them will read it, and it'll just stick with them for a little bit, and they'll just do better rather than parking on the curb.
Right, yeah, like I think that. So. And they're going to get, there's going to be a whole packet. They're going to get a packet that's going to have a map that's going to show every street that they can go on, and, you know, have the rules and things that are outlined in the ordinance. So we're going to try to be very informative with it.
You think that'll happen by this fall? Or
yes, sir, I do. I think we're getting close. You know, our goal would be, you know, around Labor Day would be the goal. If we get it finished a little bit earlier, then that's great. But there'll be plenty of notice and plenty of time for people to come get a golf course registered.
Okay, sticking with the roads, I saw it may have been the Chamber of Commerce. Then I saw this image, and it may have originated with the city of Carrollton, but I saw the image on Facebook of a roundabout, and I think on Maple Street. I mean, I was aware of one being considered out there, I guess, down the road from Maple Street, you know, more towards the college. Right. But this one, that was an image of a roundabout in Maple Street. Was this is that something that's being planned, or was that the creative liberty? Or
so we've got a no. We have a Maple Street corridor committee, mm-hmm. and we really it is a priority to have a beautification project on Maple Street. Really connect the college, the university to downtown. Well, now the Birches. To downtown and have and really beautify that corridor. It needs a lot of work, and so we have the plan. We have the renderings in place. Or say the renderings. We have the concept plan in place, and we did do a rendering of what the intersection at Hayes Mill and Maple Street could look like with a roundabout, and that's kind of your entrance into the university from downtown. That would be something that the city would do in partnering with the folks that are on the committee. The one out at the where the Birches is, the one out at the end of the bypass, that's a GDOT project, and it's scheduled to take place in 2032. So, yeah. So, but that's what we'd like to do. We've got a whole plan for Maple Street. Now we're trying to come up with funding. We've applied for a really big grant. If we get this grant, you'll see a lot of movement on that project. A roundabout is one possible option. Not to say that that's necessarily, you know, written in stone. That's what mm-hmm. we'll do. Funding, money will have a lot to do with exactly what we do, but that would be a nice entrance into the university from downtown right there at the Hayes Mill and have that roundabout, maybe a something representing the university in the middle of the roundabout. So,
I mean, if pedestrian being more pedestrian-friendly is the biggest issue out there, I mean, I would think, you know, Maple Street, I mean, that really could be a booming area. I don't know if anybody would be excited about any more traffic, but I guess more lanes could be created. But, I mean, that really is a significant spot, especially considering you've got the college, you've got families that visit, you've got the sporting right. events where people come. I mean, that's, you know, and I don't know if maybe talk to you or maybe I was talking with President Kelly about, I probably should ask you about that, just about, you know, that view. If they start getting national coverage now with football because of Division I basketball, right. I mean, they always take a nice wide shot outside the school, and that, you know, you don't want that necessarily to be the shot.
Absolutely. And I think it would be more of a lane reduction or a lane road diet. We want to make it pedestrian friendly. Yeah. We want to have bike lanes. We want to have wider sidewalks. We want to have less curb cuts going into business and more landscaping, street trees, lights, and things of that nature. So,
How difficult is it to start? How long does it take to establish a relationship with the new president? We have Kelly, who's going out. They haven't even announced an interim or when they'll start the search for a new president. I guess he's not due to Arkansas until maybe mid-August.
Yeah.
But how long does it take to establish a relationship with the president, you know, with the college, which is such a big part of Carrollton? You guys have to work with them on right. a lot of things.
You know, it didn't take long to establish a great relationship with Dr. Kelly. He come in to the university as the university president, wanting to be a part of the community, wanting to be partners with the community leadership, whether it be the school system, whether it be the city. I first met him when I was in the school system, and then had an opportunity to work really closely with him as the city manager when I moved over to Carrollton to City Hall. So with Dr. Kelly, it didn't take long. I mean, because he genuinely wanted to be a community partner. Talking with several other community leaders as this news has come about, it just makes it a whole lot easier when the university president and the city manager, the school superintendents, the business leaders, the chamber, when we're all in lockstep and on mm-hmm. the same page, it just makes it a whole lot easier to get things accomplished. So I think there'll be a concerted effort, and we've seen that. We've all seen that. And I think there'll be a concerted effort among the community leaders to embrace the president, the new president, bring them in and start right out of the gate trying to cultivate that relationship. So, you know, hopefully we get somebody as energetic and as community-oriented as Dr. Kelly.
Yeah,
as
the energy, that's for sure.
We'll just keep right on rolling.
All right, 8:53, we'll take our final break and come back and have about 6 minutes with our guest this morning. David Brooks is city manager for the city of Carrollton. Again, last chance for any questions or comments. Feel free to post those to the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and we'll be back in 1 minute. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to help. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program. Our final segment with City Manager, Carrollton City Manager David Brooks. My name is Colin Worthington. Got about 5 minutes here. You and I, we've done a couple of stories on this throughout the year, and I mean, you guys have talked about it in your work sessions. There's green space on the northeast corner of Alabama and North Park Streets. And last time I talked to you, you were hopeful that a project will be complete by sometime in 2027. Let me point this out. When I think about this, this is a property that the city of Carrollton ended up buying. It may have been when Grizzard mm-hmm. was city manager. Okay, but that's when they bought it. When I see people get, you know, mad about the restaurants coming. Oh, got to ask you about it. We'll try and get that last one in too before we wrap up the show. You know, like you know, a lot of people were like, oh, we don't need another Chick-fil-A. You know, they want you guys, they want city council to shoot it down and stop it. I mean, it's, you know, it's, this group obviously sees it as a benefit to the market, like the market needs it, so they're going to do it. So, you know, when you complain about the restaurants that are coming, I mean, that's not so much going to be, you know, the city's hands or city council's decision. But this one, whatever you guys decide to build up here on the green space on Alabama, at that intersection, they can get mad about that if they don't like that to you guys and whatever. But where is that right now? As far as that green space, again, they purchased it 3-4 years ago, and it's right at that intersection right by Highway 27.
Yeah, it's right there at the gateway to our downtown area, right there beside the Cultural Arts Center. And our elected officials had the vision to, when it become available, to purchase it to be able to control what goes there and what, like I said, it's the gateway to our downtown from 27. And so I really appreciate that visionary type thinking and doing that. So we did, we went through a downtown master plan, and we've got a whole that's a whole nother conversation, but we've got a really
I had it here, but I knew we couldn't fit it.
a lot of great ideas that we're already implementing with our downtown master plan, and we issued a RFP last fall that was due in January, and Lenco Development won the RFP. It was Lenco in partnership with Ray Lynn, the Navarre Group, their hospitality group that does their hotels.
And there were four groups that submitted, at least four groups. I mean, there were some big time, I mean, they built some big projects. I mean, out there, one group had built a project adjacent to the football stadium in Atlanta. And there was maybe one that had built some gigantic complex in Boston, even, who had submitted stuff.
Right. They had some. They all submitted letters of interest in the RFP. This one, you know, theirs come back. You got Alex Rouse. You got Contour. You got a lot of people who, local folks that really took a lot of time and effort to make that work on that corner. So we entered into a MOU with Lenco Development and all their partners it's a 76 unit multifamily mixed use development. Apartment units will surround a parking deck. First level will be retail. There'll be a restaurant there, possibly some museum space, office space, retail. There'll also be a conference center and the city will be investing in the parking deck and the conference center. There'll be a conference center that'll be tied onto the Cultural Arts Center. There'll be another hotel. I think it's going to be a Hilton property, not 100% sure, but there'll be another hotel on that space too. So we'll be able to, with a multifamily complex with the apartments, and they'll be high end market rate apartments, we'll be able to help support our downtown merchants and our downtown restaurants because everything's going to be within walking distance. And we'll also be able to host any mid-sized conference between the conference center and the room classrooms that we already have in the Arts Center, and then the three or four conference rooms that you have in the courtyard. I mean, we'll be able to hold a really good conference in Carrollton. So we already have people coming, and we partner with the college a lot of times on different conferences. But we're really excited about that. We think that's really going to set off our downtown, and we hope to be finished. But you know, by end of 2026 or beginning of 2027.
Good deal. All right, we've got 1 minute. Got to ask you about the Whataburger. What's the latest on that?
I know they've been turning in their designs and getting approvals from our community development, our engineering department. So they're still moving forward with it. And, you know, there's a lot of people excited about the Whataburger, and there's a lot of questions about the traffic and congestion out there at this in an already congested area. So
Ingles and Target Shopping Center.
Yeah, we're gonna have our challenges with it, but we're excited to have another franchise in our city.
All right. David, thanks for coming out this morning.
Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening and watching this morning's Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. I don't think I have a guest for tomorrow, so maybe we'll give Joel the day off and we'll just play a rerun. Unless you've got an idea, you want to send it to me at news@newstalk1330.com for tomorrow's Community Voice. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.